All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable
with Rick Delgado.
Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome to All Business Media, where it is all business all the time. And I'm your host, Rick Delgado, and welcoming to the show right now out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. She is the founder of ABRC and co-founder of CAWS. She's going to describe what those two organizations are and what they do. You can reach out to her at 780-965-7480 or go to the website abrc.ca. That's the letters abrc.ca. I'm talking about Linda Crockett. Linda, welcome to the program, and how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me today.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. Now, before we get started, do me a favor. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do as the founder of ABRC.
Well, Mike, as I said, my name is Linda Crockett. I am a master's degree social work and clinical practice. I am also a somatic experience and trauma therapist. And in 2010, I started this organization, Alberta Bullying Resources, to help adults in the workplace who are experiencing bullying and harassment. So that would be from point of reviewing policies and procedures, looking at investigations, looking at crisis intervention, working with employers, training staff, training leadership, working with the staff that have been impacted by bullying and harassment. So that means working one-on-one with targets who have suffered some level of trauma due to the abuse, and also working with those who are bystanders and struggling with what they're witnessing in the workplace. And I also work with those who are identified as bullies or harassers in the workplace, so disruptive employees.
Right.
So we're trying to have an education, interventions, preventions available for anyone that is in an organization and looking either to prevent it or intervene or resolve it.
Right. Now, what is the what does ABRC stand for?
Well, it's a long title, but really is a statement. It's Alberta Bullying Research Resources and Recovery Center. And I named it that way because at that time when I was looking for research in my province, I couldn't find any resources. We didn't take statistics. And in my mind, it was a message saying that we're not acknowledging bullying in Alberta.
Right.
We need research, we need resources, and we need recovery options. So that's the reason I named it that.
Right. And okay, so it begs the question, what got you into this? What led you down this road here, Linda?
Well, at the time, by the 22-year mark of me being a professional social worker, being in many different large and small organizations, for-profit, non-profit, Government of Alberta, Alberta Health Services, and other industries, other organizations, I witnessed it or experienced it in many different ways. But at that time, I had no clue what that was.
Right.
I was highly trained to do investigations for child abuse, sexual abuse, addictions, domestic violence. And although I knew those signs, I knew the symptoms, I knew those indicators, I had no idea of what I was seeing or experiencing was bullying. So around the 22-year mark, I went through that again. And I actually hit quite a rock bottom. I became quite physically ill. I suffered from depression and anxiety and panic attacks, which I'd never had in my life before. And really was driven to that point where you're standing on the edge of the cliff thinking, I wonder if I really need to go on here. And somebody handed me a research paper on workplace bullying. It took quite a while for me to read it because I was quite traumatized. I was actually diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the bullying that took place in my workplace. So finally getting through those research papers, I realized that this is what's been going on for that 22 years, that dark cloud that followed me. And I think the pattern that I contributed to it was that I was one of those people that just kept standing up and saying, that's inappropriate, that's unethical, you can't do that. And then I would always get targeted and, you know, either transferred out or I'd lose the job. Finally, I understood what this abuse was. But there's some shame that comes with that because I'm a professional trained to assess these types of abuse, and I had no clue. So after I completed my own recovery, I decided I needed to fill this gap in resources, and this is a worldwide gap, not just here in Alberta.
Right.
It's everywhere. We needed a treatment center. We needed research. We needed advocates. We needed to change our legislation. We need that word bullying in law, or else it's not legal. If up until we finally got that in June 1st, 2018 here, up until then, it was legal to go ahead and call people names and tell them they're a useless waste of space or other insults that did not fit within the protected grounds. So we needed that resource. We needed people trained. We needed people to start talking about it, break that shame silence that keeps enabling it to happen, and start to make those complaints and get policies changed.
All right. Now,
and I am seeing that happen.
Now, let me ask you this question, because I don't know. Because when you hear the word bully, it conjures up a picture, a mental picture of somebody, you know, kind of, you know, pushing you around and you know, maybe, you know, pushing you. You know what I mean?
But some of
the things that might happen in the workplace, like a superior dressing down somebody who works for them because they did something wrong, are you saying that would be considered bullying as well?
Well, workplace bullying is different from schoolyard bullying. There's some similarities, and I don't blame you for having that stereotype sort of picture that you have when you think about a bully. And I think that's been some of the misconceptions and inappropriate complaints that are coming up. People really need to read the research or look up the definition and get that straight, because we're making some mistakes here. So primarily, workplace bullying is psychological harassment. So it's that campaign of psychological violence to really insult, humiliate, degrade, demean, diminish, harm someone in some way. So it's primarily psychological abuse, and that's why it's so insidious and difficult to prove, because the adult is pretty well aware that they can't get away with that if they do it in public. So it's usually behind closed doors. You will see some of that physical stuff. I certainly have cases now where we have professionals in all professions, by the way, that are doing some of that, you know, threatening physical harassment, throwing things or slamming doors in people's faces or kicking things at people. That certainly is happening, but that's not the majority of it. The majority is psychological. So that gossip, the rumors, the name-calling, making up lies, work sabotage, relationship sabotage, you know, reputation sabotage. And it really is a betrayal. And that's where the trauma comes from. It's an internal system, external system betrayal. So your colleagues are not standing up for you. Your HR department's not standing up for you. Unions aren't helping. But also external, as far as medical and, you know, short-term disability, long-term disability, workers' comp, that's also a feeling of betrayal for people that are reaching out for help.
I'm just trying to make sense of all this, Linda, because, again, you know, I feel like, well, then, if a boss or someone can't lean into somebody for doing something wrong and be like, look, I've taught you how to do this 5 times already, you're still not doing it right, and really ripping into them, whether it's in front of the workplace or, you know, in the office. Are you saying that's considered bullying now?
You know, that's a really important question that you're bringing up, because now that we are seeing some changes in our legislations and policies, people are starting to freeze up thinking, well, can't I discipline this employee?
Right.
Can't I give this person criticism, constructive criticism? So the point here is the delivery. I mean, there's a lot, people need to understand what is not bullying, and the employer has the right to administer disciplinary action. They have the right to ask an employee to do the training 2 or 3 times if they're not getting it. But the delivery is what matters. Is it in the best interest? Is it coming across as a positive experience in the sense of this is for your development, and I know that you're not quite getting it here, but we want you to, so we want to support you and have you do it again. You can quickly change that by saying, you're an idiot. Could you do this? I've told you five times. There's a big difference between the two of those, right?
Well, there's a big difference, but, I mean, generally it's the same thing. I mean, is it, so what you're saying is, if I were to be very calm, Linda, and just sit there and be like, well, you know, Steve, we've trained you in this, you know, but it seems to be like you're just not smart enough to handle this. So considering that you're not bright enough to do this job, we're going to move you. Or we're going to start taking things away from you because we just don't want you to screw them up anymore. Now, I'm being calm, and I'm saying it.
But
my delivery...
As calm as you like.
Right, but hold on. My delivery is very calm. But now you're saying, is it the delivery or the words?
Well, the delivery includes emotional intelligence. So our leaders need to develop that emotional intelligence in order to give a message that this isn't working, without insulting them and calling them, you know, that you're not smart enough. I wouldn't use words like that.
And again, Linda, I went that route because I was basing it off of what you said was the delivery, as opposed to, you know, where you said they were yelling at them, as opposed to not yelling at them. So to me, delivery was, you know, the volume of my voice and how I presented it. I can sit there and be like, you know, with all due respect, we really like you, but you're just not smart enough to do this job.
No, it's not just about being
calm.
But
would that be now considered bullying?
It's not about being calm. I mean, of course, the tone matters, your body position matters, but so do your words matter. So that's what I say, emotional intelligence, okay? So let me just define what workplace bullying is as far as international research.
Okay.
And maybe that's going to help you understand where I'm coming from. Workplace bullying is never one incident. So if I sat down with somebody and said, you're not getting it, just exactly the way you did, that might be rude, that might be abrasive, that might be a bit incivil. But what we're talking about with workplace bullying, it is a variety of these kinds of tactics. So it's a number of them. And it's over a period of time. Research says 6 months or more. So it's never one incident. It is an accumulation of being treated in a demeaning and humiliating and insulting manner over 6 months.
Okay.
With intent to harm or degrade, humiliate, embarrass, insult, diminish in some way. So those are the key points you have to consider when you're trying to determine whether you're bullying or not, or being bullied or not.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Now, what about, you know, because you said it's incivil. I don't even know if that's a word here in this country. You Canadians, you make up stuff.
Actually, you've got quite a few Americans that research on that topic.
Joking. but if I'm saying that to somebody, you know, whether it be the second or third time, it's like, look, we've had this discussion before, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, with all due respect, you're just not getting this. It might be that you don't have the brain capacity to handle this. Aren't I just being honest?
I think you're being judgmental in that statement, and I think
Is it everything judgmental, really?
The wording could be.
I could turn around and say, well, now you're saying that me being honest is being judgmental. Well, that's pretty judgmental of you thinking that, you know. you see where I'm going?
I could go back and forth on this for a long time, but I guess the point is emotional intelligence. I would say to the employee, how are you feeling about the struggle that you're having? What do you think you need right now? Do you want to continue with this, or do you want to look at other options? Like, give them some power in that situation rather than make them feel like they're about an inch tall.
What if they don't even realize they're doing something wrong?
Then you've got some help there. You've got some training. You've got HR. But we're not talking about bullying right here, are we?
Right. Well, I guess we've gotten off the topic. Well, let's get back on, shall we?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with dumb employees.
You don't want to what?
I don't want to deal with any more dumb employees. Let's leave them over there. Again, we're talking with our guest, Linda Ray Crockett. She doesn't do that either. She's the founder of ABRC. It stands for, and let me make sure I get this correct because, you know, it's kind of long, but it's Alberta Bullying Research Resources and Recovery Center, abrc.ca. I do want to ask you about CAWS, C-A-W-S, right? Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yes, you are. CAWS stands for the Coalition of Alberta Workplace Specialists.
Okay, we'll jump into that in just a few moments. I have to take a quick break. We come back more with Linda Crockett. Reach out to her at 780-965-7480. More with her after these words right here on All Business Media. Maybe after these words. Here they are.
Every business needs professionals they can trust. Let it be your lawyer, accountant, electrician. Even the company plumber are all people you can trust. So why are you settling for your printer vendor? They never respond to your questions, and when they do, it's always late. Always seems to take an eternity to get your printing done and ready, but you've dealt with it because there really wasn't another alternative. That is, until now, Max Image Printers. Take the worry out of your printing needs. As a hybrid company, both on website and phone, they welcome clients, businesses of all sizes, to call and ask questions to make as many orders as you need, with the confidence of having your work printed, beautiful, and ready in just a few business days. Bring the trust back into your printing. Maximize your printing experience with Maxim Image Printing. Call now at 801-977-8330. Email Keith at maximage.net. Visit the website, maximage.net. Max Image Printing, quality service, guaranteed. If you're not happy, you don't pay.
On a Cape Cod shore, 16 striped bass fish and a horseshoe crab were found dead, killed by a harmful algal bloom. The town blamed excessive lawn fertilizer for polluting the water. They restricted lawn fertilizing to once a year. The state overruled, mandating five times a year. Though the striped bass died on a Falmouth shore, fertilizer pollution is a national problem, clogging our waterways. If you believe in our rights to clean water and beaches, if you want to stop the killing of fish by excessive fertilizer, please join with us. Make a donation for responsible stewardship. Acting together, we can have clean beaches and more fish. Please visit www.donateforoceans.org. That is www.donate4oceans.org.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable
with Rick Delgado.
Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome back to All Business Media. And yes, I am your host, Rick Delgado, sitting with our guest, Linda Crockett. She is the owner and founder at ABRC, co-founder of CAWS out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. ABRC.ca is their website, or 780-965-7480. And again, Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, real quick, before we start talking about CAWS, if somebody's running into issues and they, you know, how would they, you know, when you start working with somebody through ABRC, what's that process like? How does the whole thing get started?
Well, it depends on who's calling. So if it's a person, an employee who's been impacted by bullying and harassment and they're looking for help, they'll call a number of different offices. They'll finally find us. So what we will do is I will do a crisis intervention assessment.
Okay.
I will hear what their immediate needs are, try to determine what their what the next steps need to be. I'll meet them in person. As a therapist, I will do my best to stabilize their symptoms. That means depression, anxiety, get them to a doctor, get them to a psychiatrist, set up a treatment plan for them. And once that's stabilized, I will look at bringing in my co-founder of the CAWS program, Bob Stenhouse, and the two of us will sit down and assess what has this employee done. Have they made any complaints? Are they, have they looked at the occupational health and safety, made a complaint through labor standards or human rights? And we'll find out where things are at and what's missing, what they need to do next. We'll offer them support. We'll be with them in those meetings that are really difficult for employees to attend with human resources and leaders so that they're not alone. They've got somebody. Usually they're very much alone and intimidated by that, especially if they're suffering. So we'll work with them. Bystanders, I'll also do the same, listen to their story, help them work through whatever barriers they have to address it and make a complaint, or sometimes they make a decision to leave the workplace because they don't want to witness it anymore. Sometimes I'll get a referral about a difficult employee and the employer wants to keep them because they're very skilled. They don't want to lose them, but they need to change some of these behaviors. They're far too abrasive. They're far too insulting. They're just far too rough with the employees.
Right.
So they'll be sent to me on a mandatory basis to do an assessment and determine what needs to happen for some of these behaviors to change.
All right. Now you mentioned your co-founder of CAWS, CAWS.
Mm-hmm.
So now what is this? Again, you mentioned that it stands for Coalition of Alberta Workplace Specialists, right? And what is it exactly? Are you guys, is this a legal thing? Because you said you go in with them when they meet with HR. So are you a lawyer as well? Or
no, we're not lawyers.
Okay.
As I said, I'm a trauma therapist, and Bob Stenhouse is an investigator.
Okay.
He also has extensive experience in leadership and policy and development. So together we kind of form an ombuds service. It's similar with some differences too, but what we do is if the employer allows us to sit in the meetings with them, we will sit in the meetings. One of us will go and attend
right. As
a quiet support and offer some guidance if needed. Or we'll sit outside and wait for them so that they've got somebody there. We'll go for coffee and debrief. Far too often, these employees are left on their own. They go on sick leave, and they have to navigate these systems between the unions and insurance and doctors and even lawyers, so it's a very stressful time for them.
Right.
They now have somebody that they can go to help with the documentations and all the different guidelines and who they can say what to. It gets very confusing. And if you're suffering depression, suicidal ideation, and anxiety, that's extremely stressful. They need somebody on their side, beside them. So we do a number of things. And again, we also do the training. We get calls from employers to come in and train their staff, train their leaders, so that they can prevent this from happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you are working in that situation, say you are brought into an organization, is that something where, how does that work? I mean, are you interviewing each person separately to see where some potential issues are, or is it just like an educational thing, really?
Well, I think that's a good question because it really depends on the needs of the employer. So if the employer has not had any concerns and they just want to get the training in to make sure that everybody's understanding and what's on the same page, then it's an educational training session. If the employer is calling because they're having some concerns, they have a history of employees that are causing some bullying or harmed by bullying, we will then do an assessment. Where are the needs? How do their policies and procedures? Are they up to date? We'll look at their processes. We'll customize our training to fit the needs of that particular employer.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning I will work with the offender, if you want to call it that. I'll also work with the target, make sure it's a safe environment for them to be together. So that means a facilitated discussion. Not mediation,
right.
But facilitated discussion. And we will train the staff so that everyone's on the same page.
Right. Now I was going to ask, is there ever a situation where it doesn't feel safe? But I guess you kind of answered that question. I guess you've seen that.
Yeah, I have.
Now, what is it? Give me an example of one of those situations, just so we know what it looks like.
Well, there's many different types of people that bully, right? Many different causes, many different risk factors, many different reasons. And I want to touch on that to answer your question.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes a person who is a bully, and I would say the majority actually, have learned that that's okay. They got away with it for years. Maybe that's what their parents were like. Maybe that was their first employer. That's how they learned it, and they got away with it for years and years and years. And they lost touch with their own moral compass. And so working with them, I find that really fascinating and interesting. I learn a lot from them.
Uh-huh.
But cutting through those layers and layers and layers of years of getting away with it takes a bit of work. But when you get there, that person has a lot of regret. So maybe they've learned it. In other cases, maybe it's because they're burnt out. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a mental health issue. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe they have borderline personality disorder. And that's a difficult situation if they're not willing to have treatment or even be assessed. Then you've got staff that are quite distressed, and it doesn't look too good for them. You've also got narcissists, you've got psychopaths, you've got sociopaths. That's really difficult on people, especially those narcissists that see absolutely nothing wrong with their behavior. They're not accountable. They lack insight. They lack self-awareness. So working with them is very difficult. That's when it's high risk, because it's difficult to make a shift there. And sometimes I've seen employers terminate bullies with that nature because they just can't make a change.
Right. All right. Well, you know what? It's all very interesting, and I guess as more research is coming out, you're finding out more things about this. Again, we've been talking with our guest, Linda Crockett. She is the founder of ABRC and co-founder of Cause out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Find out more about her, the work she does, the services that they provide over there by just going to the website, abrc.ca. It stands for Alberta Bullying Research Resources Recovery Inc. ABRC.ca, or give them a call, 780-965-7480. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, on the website, if they want to go to research, they'll see about 100 different papers listed there, but they can also Google International Association of Workplace Bullying and Harassment, and that is research that's been available to people for 20 years. It's not new. It's just that our awareness is finally catching up.
Right.
This is an epidemic in the workplace all over the world, and research is right at your fingertips.
All right. So lots of great information right there. You can also click on the ABRC brochure, schedule a meeting with them as well, find out more information, abrc.ca or 780-965-7480. Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And we'll be back with more on All Business Media right after these words.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... 6-8-10-4. Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.